You are listening to the Holistic Trauma Nurse Podcast. Thanks for stopping by, checking me out. I hope that my podcast gives you hope, inspiration, and some information. And this is for information only. This is not any, you know, medical advice. Go see your practitioner. Do your own research. This is some time to stand up and fight. It takes time to dig and find the things I'm looking for, because this should be out everywhere, but our mainstream media is censoring what's going on. So there's these really cool rallies happening, and people are coming together for your medical freedom, for their medical freedom. And I'm going to support them and share them and enjoy this one. This is a short, this first short clip. Listen.
We went through a whole pandemic.
Whoops.
Vaccinations. We have supported our communities. We have worked long hours. We have worked 18-hour days, 5 days a week. And now they're forcing us to get a vaccine that isn't approved. And even if it is approved, when it will be, it isn't safe. All the scientific evidence that's backing it up, the scientific studies, is proving that it's not safe. And that is what we're protesting, that we should have a right to choose what we're putting into our bodies.
The evidence that I have seen, that I've studied, and that is not easily available because unfortunately a lot of this evidence is being canceled, shows that it's not a safe and effective vaccine. There's a lot of problems. Besides that, it is not necessary. If you've had COVID and you have natural immunity, you should not be forced to take a vaccine that can actually make it worse if you do contract COVID.
Both of us have spent a lot of time during this pandemic working with COVID patients, and the information that's portrayed to the public in news media doesn't seem to coincide with the things that we see on a day-to-day basis, which is very frustrating. You know, people having blood clots, hemorrhages, sudden strokes. There's just so many more cases of things like this, even just dying on the spot. You know, like, these things don't just happen on a day-to-day basis, but now we're seeing so many more cases of it that doesn't seem to have any good explanation. Some young men and older teenagers, you know, between certain ages, having heart conditions after receiving the vaccine. I myself just had a patient like that, 18-year-old, with heart inflammation, pericarditis. This is not a normal side effect for a vaccine. There's no reason why an 18-year-old should be developing heart inflammation after a vaccine. In my area where I work, I've seen mothers that gave birth to babies and having days after birth, having to go to the ER with massive bleeding and hemorrhages. And I know personally a friend, she got fully vaccinated, it was her choice, you know, that was great for her. She felt the symptoms. And so she went and said, I think I have it, you know, can you please test me? Because, you know, I want to be able to quarantine for my husband and my children. And they said, no, we are not going to test you, just go home and quarantine for 14 days. And that was very heartbreaking to hear that, you know, she wasn't treated, she was just sent home because they didn't want the numbers to go against what they're trying to tell the public. When they say, oh, well, we don't have any beds available at the hospital. Well, it's not because there aren't any beds, it's because the hospitals don't have any staff. I was asked to work extra because my coworker, who is fully vaccinated, is out with COVID. So it's kind of really, I'm not sure what's happened to the medical community. I don't recognize it anymore.
Huddles and rounds where they're telling people everybody's unvaccinated, and just a couple days ago somebody had to speak up and say that is totally untrue. At that day it was 20% were unvaccinated and 80% were vaccinated, and the lies that are coming out are just wrong, and it's just killing humanity. This is a total crime against humanity that they're not giving people informed consent, and that's what they need to do, is just educate people and let them have a choice. This is not okay.
The vaccine, like, just follow the money. Follow the money. How much do hospitals get for having their staff vaccinated? How much money do the hospitals get for COVID patients? It's insane, and it's censored. So do your research as much as you can and connect with medical professionals you know, and there's people on both sides.
Scientists that work for Gavi, for Bill Gates, they're all trying to call on the world to stop this madness of this vaccine. And people need to realize that this is being all censored. The news is propaganda, and the propaganda is what's driving this fear, and the fear is what's dividing the people, and our freedoms are being taken away, and people are not even aware of it.
If you look at the Pfizer science that just came out, it shows, their 6-month study shows that unvaccinated versus vaccinated have the exact same death rates. So what would be the point? Except you're putting a lot of chemicals that are not disclosed into your body. And if you saw the side effects that we're seeing almost on every person, there's just, it may be ever so slight of a side effect, maybe a headache every single day in somebody who has never had headaches before. It may be their joints are aching just a little bit more, but we don't know what that's gonna do in 2 years. We don't know what that will lead to. We're seeing babies that are being born with super weird bleeding disorders that are dying, and nobody's willing to look into what caused that. And the doctors are like, I have never seen this before in my entire career. Something is going on. And when you start keeping an open mind just to look at what's going on, it makes you change your mind. And when you look at your children, is this what you would do for your children? Or would you fight for them? And I would absolutely fight.
Go to Bears. Go to the Bears website. Look at the adverse events that have happened in anything, in any vaccine, but go to Bears.
But when there's a group that thinks they know better, then why aren't you willing, if you really think you know better, to look at the evidence? And then let's talk, let's discuss it instead of canceling each other. A mind is like an umbrella, you know, it works better when it's open.
A mind is, that was so good.
I never thought conspiracy theories were real until now. And it's like, it's only a conspiracy until you realize the truth.
Well, I'm sure you never thought you'd be considered a conspiracy theorist either. But here we are.
Never. I just got into nursing. I've been a nurse for 21 years and never, ever thought we'd be where we are today.
Support your local freedom efforts. Stand Up in Santa Barbara. They're having a Stand Up PB.com, and that was the film that was made. It's going everywhere, and it's about time. And it's heartwarming to see. It's hard to hear. It's hard to work in this, and it's time we come together. It's really time to come together and support humanity through this, and support each other through this. Vaccinated, unvaccinated, the people that have been vaccinated need more support than the other ones do. They need, and their healthcare providers aren't giving it. And it's been a global thing with, I couldn't even find the Rockefellers and the Rockefellers and how they changed the way medicine and our healthcare system runs. And I have been in healthcare way too many years, and I'm like, it's ugly. It's ugly. It's not health. The hospitals are not health. They're not helping you. I don't know what to say. Do you want to help? You've got to take ownership of your own health, and you've got to learn a little bit more. And I think working with a health coach and researching and understanding your body more and understanding what you can be doing for your own health is the way you need to go to path, because it used to be you just listen to your physician for everything, and you just can't anymore. And I couldn't, I guess, back then, because my physician, when I was a kid, gave me antibiotic after antibiotic after antibiotic when it was virus and ruined my gut for my childhood. And who else? I'm sensitive to all these antibiotics. Oh, hello. And they were in everything. So, and how many times were they getting pushed and shoved money to push drugs? I mean, it's just like, could we have some, and the people that are standing up, thank God for them. Thank God for them. Thank God if you're standing up and you're standing up for the rights of your family, yourself, your patients. It is just time. New York unions for medical freedom and fighters. Things are happening. You guys, things are happening. I want you to know things are happening. And so you just don't know it. So you just know you can get involved. So I hope this has inspired you. This one's long. I'm only going to share a little bit of this.
There's a protest planned for August 25th at City Hall. Why don't you give us an update on what's been going on, Michael?
Yeah, the buzz about this is big. We're doing this under the banner of New York Unions for Choice. So we're going to have firemen, police officers, sanitation workers, teachers, postal workers, all coming out against the Biden, Cuomo, de Blasio medical mandates that are infringing on our rights to live free, prosper, and to have employment here in the city. We're doing it under New York Unions for Choice, but I encourage everybody to come out, because what's happening to unionized labor and city workers, it's happening to everybody, and it's gonna get worse and worse and worse. So we have a very big buzz about it. It's gonna be City Hall, August 25th, 4 p.m. And it will probably be set up on Broadway. We're just got the permits cleared. We're discussing everything with NYPD right now. So look for us on Broadway. We'll put more exact location information at teachersforchoice.com.
So this was already happened. So hopefully it's already.
Everybody to come out.
There's a lot that's happened in really the short time since we last spoke. New York City has become, I think, certainly the first major city in the United States to have what they're calling the Excelsior Pass, which sounds exciting, but it literally is segregating the city. As you pointed out, many people in the black community have been hesitant for a lot of valid reasons, and in all communities, people should have the right to choose to do what they want relative to their own health. You know, people seem to want to tell other people what to do. But I had some words with somebody in the street the other day who was extremely overweight. And we know that's the number one comorbidity for COVID-19. But I think you should have the right to eat cake and ice cream all day if that's what you want to do. I'm not going to tell people what to do with their health. I don't want them to tell me what to do with my health. Your movement is about choice. It's not an anti-vax movement.
Well, exactly. And that's why I said we have many fully vaccinated supporters, because we're not
crowdsource the truth is that website.
A very, very dear friend of mine the other day.
Okay, that's a little clip from that. That is crowdsource for choice. New York Unions for Choice. I have another one I'm going to play. Okay. Just keep hanging on. Lots of info. Lots of info. This guy I've played before. Need to play him again. So this is a short clip of a couple different people talking to someone who I've had on the, not actually person, but videos I've caught, the freedomorg.california, did you know? So this is from them. Time to support them. Listen to this a little bit.
Yay, yeah. We're all together again.
Yeah, Freedom Friday. Freedom Friday, everybody. How's it going?
Well,
making the best out of memory.
So we're going to speed it up and go through a little bit of their long chit-chat and get some good detail here. All right.
Anytime soon. There's going to be no Anthony Bourdaining me. There's going to be no Jeffrey Epsteining me, okay? I got my ride and die here.
Listen, I know Kimberly, and she means business.
Yes. Yep. So, she's also my bodyguard.
I can't find my phone.
Okay. So anyways, we had a bit of a day. We just got settled here at an undisclosed location somewhere near the Capitol. You know, had to work out together, and we're looking forward to Parliament Hill tomorrow. I'm not sure who's going to be there, but I do have a very important message that I just want to get out. And that's my purpose for tomorrow. So.
Wonderful. Well, let them have it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So who do I have here? I see Tanya. I can see, yeah. My eyes are terrible, so I can see Tanya, the herbalist. We got Danielle. What's up?
Hey.
And then you in the corner, you're covered by a big button that says live and a bunch of numbers, so I can't see your face. I just see the word free on your t-shirt.
Oh yes, free the North. It's Alicia.
That's Alicia.
Hey, Alicia.
Hey. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Maybe next time you travel to the West Coast, we'll say hello.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, so we missed.
Does your audience here?
Yeah, I'm trying to make my way to see you tomorrow, Mad Dad, over to Parliament.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Does your audience, do they have any sort of idea about any of my history whatsoever?
Yes.
They do? Okay.
Yes. Most of our audience is on the Instagram as well, so I'm assuming at least 70% already know, but
okay.
Let's reiterate, because it's a really
yes.
important message. Like, people need to be hammered with this over and over until they, you know, it's
yeah.
the same thing as media, right? Like, let's de-media them.
And I mean, there's so many layers to what I'm trying to expose and so many things that I'm trying to get out, and I really need to kind of do it as a layered approach, okay? Kind of build the platform for really ultimately what I need to expose about the federal government in general from my time at headquarters in an intelligence position where I was able to just see a little too much, let's say, considering the position that we're in now, where we're being told to trust government, trust their leaders, they're gonna save us, they're gonna rescue us, and apparently they know better. And I'm telling you, if I can't convince you that the government of Canada is corrupt, which should be very, very easy to do, I can at least show you how dysfunctional they are as a government entity in general, and specifically when it comes to protecting our borders, the agency that was mandated to protect us all from the rising case numbers all over the world. And I'm telling you right now, from what I saw on the front lines, I had front row tickets to the show the entire time. They didn't do their due diligence. They didn't follow any of their own protocols when it comes to keeping people safe. And not only that, if you want to look at the government of Canada's timeline of events and all of their evidence and all of the reasons for locking us down harder and harder and harder, well, I can use all of their evidence and all of their data, and I can pinpoint some very serious flaws at the border. Maybe some reasons why case numbers were rising no matter what we were doing in our own country as citizens, right? No matter how many businesses closed down, no matter how much we social distance, and no matter how many masks we put on our children, whether it's 2, 3, 4, nothing seemed to be working. Well, I can look and I can pinpoint why, and at the very least, I think there needs to be a public inquiry, because the people out there who disagree with all of the stuff that we say and know, whether it's about the type of virus COVID-19 is, how deadly it is, treatments that are available, whatever, if people don't want to believe us, that's fine, regardless of what you believe. If you believe the rising case numbers and you believe all of the government's data, those people should be furious more than anyone then. Because according to that data, it looks like the government of Canada is directly responsible for this country never really catching up, never really flattening the curve. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're picking up what you're throwing down, so carry on.
If I can just add, the Canada Border Services Agency, as a law enforcement agency, they brag about how much data they're able to collect from people. And you know what? It's very, very true. It's one of the reasons why they're so effective as a law enforcement agency. There's a lot that goes on that the public don't realize. They're very, very good at their job. However, that data collection, it's going to bite them in the ass when it comes to this public inquiry. Because if you've crossed the border during the border closure, we had a new system installed specifically to track your data as a Canadian citizen, which we don't really have the authority to do. We don't really have the authority to ask you what you plan on doing in your own country. It's kind of a violation, right? Like, you don't really have to answer those questions because you enter the country unfettered by right, no matter what. The reason why we're able to ask these questions of Canadian citizens is for the purpose of national security, right? Verify who you are, that you are Canadian. And then once that's been established, every other question is in relating to the goods, like as in the clothes you're wearing, the car you're driving, making sure you didn't buy a bunch of stuff. And you know what I mean? Like, that's how we're able to lawfully ask these questions of Canadian citizens. But what we've been doing is tracking all of their data, as in, what's your name, your phone number, where do you live, how long will you be self-isolating for, what's the contact, what do you do for work, and whether or not you are required to self-isolate, okay? So all of that is tracked. Now hear me out. People don't realize how many people live in Canada and work in the U.S., how many people work as truck drivers that have to go back and forth across the border. It's just how the world works. So when they announced the borders were closed, you know what it was in reality? Not closed, open. All kinds of exceptions had to be made because when these people stand behind a podium and they bark their tyrannical orders, do you think they have any understanding of how the world works and the implications that they are going to create on all of these operations all over the country and worldwide? No. So they get behind the podium on the news and they say, we're closing the borders. Well, then what happens is the people who work in the government, who have to write up this policy, who have to amend acts and regulations and write orders and councils, OICs, which is basically a bunch of people in a room making up laws, hitting a hammer and going, there we go, we just had an order in council, so now it's law. So they just really, they watered everything down with all of these amendments, these new acts, regulations, whatever, based on what people were saying on the television. This wasn't led from within the government and then carried out. No, this was led from what we saw on the news. We would see things announced on the news, like the border closure, and then we'd get an internal email saying, disregard, that's not true. And then we'd hear that would never happen. We would never close the U.S.-Canada border. And then we see it on the television that it is closed. But then it's not closed in reality. Anyways, highly dysfunctional response, but the point is they created this software for the Public Health Agency of Canada, for us to collect all of this data. Now, how does this apply? Well, we're all from different parts of the world, so I'm just going to describe where I worked in the field, specifically when they first started to respond to the pandemic and when they first closed the border. You guys know what happened in Syracuse, New York? Right? The epicenter of the New York
hospital?
So, like, you walk in with a mild cough and they shove a ventilator down your throat and kill you and then mark it as a COVID-19 death. And then Nurse Erin was going undercover, getting all the footage and showing how wrong it was, right? Well, I thought when I remember when I saw that, I was on the job. I was following a lot of this stuff on the job. I was seeing all of you guys speak out, and here I am in the uniform, starting to see how everything's making sense from what you guys are saying versus how it just doesn't make sense from what I'm seeing in reality in the field and the information that the government is giving me. Okay, so that hospital in Syracuse, New York, I happen to work at the crossing. If you are going to be traveling to Syracuse, New York, we are the main artery. Main artery. So if you're going from Montreal, if you're going from Kingston, if you're going from Ottawa, wherever, you're going to cross at the Port of Lansdowne. You're going to cross over the Thousand Islands Bridge, go into the U.S., Alexandria Bay, New York, and you're going to carry on to Syracuse. Now, why is this important, and why does this have to do anything with all the programs I just described, where we're writing down why people are crossing the border and whether or not they're exempt? Well, there are all kinds of people, Canadians, that went to this hospital to help out and work there. And guess what? They're exempt from the requirement to self-isolate. They're exempt from the requirement to quarantine. They don't have to show a negative test when they come home. We literally just say, oh, you work there? Have a good day. Up the road they go, right to a Costco near you or a Walmart near you or whatever is allowed to stay open when all of these mom and pop shops are not. So there's all of this data that's just right there for anyone to look at. And This is for regardless of what you believe. If you believe the case numbers and you believe the vaccine is going to save us all and you believe that lockdowns should have worked and you just can't understand why masks didn't work, well, if you're that person, you probably want to have a look at the data that they've collected, just how many people have been exempt from the requirement to quarantine this entire time and why. It's all tracked. They've kept track of everything, so we're going to get the list of the diplomats, all the foreign nationals that came in and out of Canada this entire time, rules for thee, not for me, all of the people that went on vacation when they were ordering us to stay locked down. You see, I was seeing all of this stuff in my own eyes. I'm seeing a group of Canadians, they live in the U.S., and here they are trying to justify to us why they're coming to their home country. Some officers are giving them shit, making them feel bad because they're so brainwashed themselves, right? Just disgraceful. Scared Canadians, they're terrified, they just want to come home, they're shaking, they've got the mask, they're like, what do you want from us? We don't know, we're so confused. And then the car behind them is full of diplomats from another country. They don't have to quarantine, they don't have to self-isolate, they don't have to answer shit, nothing. They show their little passport with diplomatic status and up the road they go. And you just see the rules for thee, not for me, and none of it makes any sense whatsoever. It's all kept track of, and at the very least, I'd love to see a public inquiry, and I'd like to see just how closed these borders really were. Because if they weren't closed, if we were just letting people come and go without documenting anything, just letting them run rampant into the communities, no disinfecting, no negative tests, well, then why were we doing this to Canadian citizens, right? You know, they deem these things non-essential. Oh, this is non-essential travel. What gives them the right to do that? There's no such thing. There is no legal definition as essential travel and non-essential travel. We're all Canadian citizens. You have the right to leave your country, come and go as you please. It's your right. As in, it's a right, not a privilege. It can't be just taken away from you. It's your God-given right, period. So there's no such thing as essential and non-essential. Now, when I grew up, my dad lived in Manhattan. If I got news that he was dying, to me, that'd be a pretty fucking essential reason to go to Manhattan, see my father. Canadians and Americans were kind of incestuous. Canadians go over to the U.S. and get someone pregnant, and Americans do the same. It happens all the time. It's like 90% of Canada's population is right along the border. So many of us have family members. The division between the two countries has been heartbreaking to see, to watch people come up, cry with their sob stories, get turned around for no reason. And then you just see these diplomats, politicians, doing whatever they want. And you see it time and time again, even now, regardless of federal government, they're mandating things for employees. Oh, you all need the vaccine. But then they tell their city councilors in Toronto, oh, you guys don't need it. It's just, nothing makes sense. It's all wrong. But from what I've seen firsthand, this government is fucked. They've got some serious explaining to do to everyone, regardless of what you believe. So that's the message that I'm trying to get out. I really want to focus on this specific dysfunctional port because that'll be the beginning of kind of blowing the lid on the whole thing. And then we can get into later on down the road, I don't have the time, but all of the stuff I saw when I was at headquarters in the belly of the beast, where I'm surrounded by all the upper brass and the people that you are normally kind of intimidated by as an officer. I got to know these people, and I started to learn that, well, it's kind of an old boys club. A lot of these guys are misogynistic pigs. They're not very intelligent. They don't present themselves very well. They're fucking stupid. These guys are morons, and I can't believe that the country is looking to these people to lead the charge to solve our problems. When has government ever led the charge in anything? When have they ever innovated anything? Never. They hire companies to get the job done, period, because they can't do anything right. So that's a bit of a tangent, kind of gave you a lot of information at once. It's a lot to digest. So whatever questions you have for me, please, just fire away.
Okay, we're not going to go question. We're going to skip ahead. He kind of, sorry for his little cuss words, but he has intel on the Canadians and what the hell craziness. But there's more. I wanted to share a little bit more. Just a minute here. Sorry, I hate the dead air. I was just making sure I get the right little bit more to share. You can go check out their whole thing if you've heard them up before. I've never heard of them before.
out of juvenile detention center. I ended up living on the streets for a while. I ended up in a group home, and I connected and bonded with kids that otherwise are invisible at a very young age. And I've always been able to see the other side of society because of that. I've always learned what a real rock bottom can feel like and how close everyone on this planet is from that rock bottom, right? Most people are one or two missed paychecks away from complete financial ruin. A lot of people out there are alcoholics. They don't realize it. Like you can be very, very close to a rock bottom and not realize it. And I've carried that with me my whole life. But I really think that that perspective of being on the streets as a youth is what woke me up in the very beginning to that, just in general, that the lockdown response was wrong. Because immediately, and I was terrified too, right? I was, oh my God, what is this virus? I'm thinking of my kids. And so I agreed in the beginning that there needed to be some sort of response, but this harsh lockdown, my mind immediately went, well, what about the kids in the street? Where are they gonna go? It's winter. What about the group home kids? What's it like living there now when it's already awful? Under the best of circumstances, it's already awful. What's it like now when they don't have any resources available to them outside of that group home? No playgrounds, no school, no community centers. What are they, just wearing a mask?
Barely visitation.
Yeah, like if they even have anyone to visit.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and a lot of them are locked in a room.
No, and so I really, this whole time, there have been so many moments where I'm like, hey, this is the moment we can wake people up. Let's talk about the children. Oh, no one gives a shit about children. Wow. And I can make this statement, no one gives a shit about children, in a very general sense, because what has society shown us this whole time? That they don't give a shit. It's like they were the last ones to be thought of this whole time. Not from us in our community, but from a government perspective.
Yeah.
Everything
that's
was
what
about
all
the
outrageous.
Yeah.
So outrageous,
yeah.
In the fact that they feel like they've done the right thing to be able to protect grandma or protect whoever else, right? I'm doing it and you're selfish for not doing it, right? I mean, Alicia, you're dealing with some stuff too. Like, it's just...
Well, they always say how society treats its most vulnerable. And that is...
They're protecting the vulnerable while they sacrifice the younger.
Well, and here's the thing, and this is where I see regularly, because the work that we do with Children's Health Defense, you know, no one gave a shit about mandating it for kids or, you know, the masking or whatever, until they came for them.
Yeah.
The adults that are now coming, screaming, going, help us, help us, help us, have been willing to allow it to happen to the children.
Yes.
But now it's them. Like, part of that blows my mind. The part, I get it's the whole fight or flight thing. Part of it, it grosses me right out. Like, the kids should come first. The elderly need to be protected, but the kids need to come first, or this world's going nowhere.
Well,
it's common sense.
It's self-preservation. That's what we're witnessing in people right now, is self-preservation.
But
until
how
they
not putting
they get
together?
Because unfortunately, when people are in self-preservation mode, and I hate to say this, and this might upset people, but that also comes from a selfish place. It's very, very difficult to be selfless. You know, I wrote a quote many years ago, to be selfish is easy. To be selfless takes sacrifice.
That's true.
And what we are all doing right now is we are sacrificing ourselves to protect those who cannot protect themselves, for those who have voices that cannot speak. And, you know, that is why, you know, we are all on here right now together, and we've been together for the last year and a half, and we are fighting. And I, you know, it's as Danielle said, you know, I just had to deal with something today. Today I was officially discriminated, and I lost a supplier because they gave me an ultimatum that I had to be injected twice by October 1st, or else I could no longer work with them. And I made a decision. I wasn't gonna skirt around it and say, oh, I have a medical exemption. No, I'm gonna stand. I'm gonna stand in my truth and stand in my power, and I'm going to say no, I am not getting it, and I will not be coerced to get to have employment with anyone. And so, you know, that is what people need to do. I know it's scary, and I know it can be hard, and it's frustrating,
And I sort of disagree with her in that situation. I think everyone can take it in their own heart. I think the medical exemptions are out there, and that's another way to stand. I don't think you just have to tell your job no. If you're the sole provider of your family, then I feel you need to make that decision between you and God and not just, okay. And then I do think that we need to be for the voice for our children and our elderly. We need to be protecting them, especially those in healthcare, especially those that have a license behind their name, especially those that know better. And I mean, I watched one of my friends that was a friend post something on social, and she said, oh, I don't care it's in my hot dog bite, I still eat it. This whole long thing, I don't know exactly the ingredients of an aspirin, but I still take it. And I'm like, that's your choice. It's not mandated. It's not keeping you from a job. I don't eat hot dogs unless I know what's inside them. I don't take aspirin. No, we're not all like you. Actually, I tell people they should know what's going in their body. If you want to be that kind of nurse who doesn't know what's all in those things, that's on you. You don't know what's in a Tylenol, yet you do know the dosage of a Tylenol and all the side effects. You better know that. Okay? We don't know. You're the guinea pig for this shot. And I'm telling you, VAERS is reporting it. Other people are reporting it. And it's being squashed. Squashed. And so I like that there are these people that are in the fight. Like, I'm in the fight. And I'm stand with all four of these women, whoever they are, and these Canadian friends. And said, hey, I'm with you. You know what? I'll stand with you and fight with you. That's where I stand. And I stand in prayer for those that are making this stand. And that are putting their own, they're putting people before themselves. It's not about them, I hope. It's about their choice and their family, but it's also about, I'm going to do this because, this what needs to be done. So I hope this one I can try to figure out if I can share the information about this. But I'm passionate about it because I care, and I know you can have the right to complete opposite to disagree with me and believe in the jab and believe in all this and drink your Diet Cokes and go eat your Twinkies and feel that that's what you want to do with your health, okay. There are consequences for your action. There is gravity. You want to jump down something and there's gravity. There are consequences to what you put in your body. As I sit here and drink green juice and take my supplements. I pull up my supplements today, like this pocket full of them, and she's like, oh my gosh, you have so many. I said, yep. I take them throughout the day. I'm fighting to keep my health after all the crap that I've done to my body. I'm fighting to have my good, to keep good health. What are you doing for your own health? What are you doing for your family's health? What are you doing for your friends and family? How are you supporting them right now? How are you being there for them? That's what I have to question you. And I hope that if this intrigues you and you want to join, you go do the research, tell me what you're doing. And I'd love to hear your story and how you're managing to take care of your health and managing to stand in the gap for somebody else. It's time. It's time we come together. Come together and help one another. That is just, be the voice for someone who can't have a voice. For the children, for the elderly. Do something. All right. This is a Holistic Travel Nurse, hoping that you will share this. And if you want to support my cause, it's all in the show notes. That's it. This is totally out of a voice to stand and a voice to be there for you. So that's my music cueing in to say the end of the episode. I hope to hear from you again. Thanks for enjoying this one, and I look forward to chatting with you again.